chatting with tall black guy who you all know that We at Black Is love and have dubbed ourselves the most influential producer since Dilla. Because ever since we've discovered you, we cannot get enough of your music, and you happily appease our appetites because you put out new music constantly. So thank you.
No problem.
We appreciate that. So we know you were born in Detroit and lived in Chicago. Which one do you consider home? Which one is hometown?
Hometown, probably Chicago.
Okay.
Because I made a name for myself in Chicago with music.
Okay.
So say there, but I mean, still Detroit, because I've been going there for, you know, all my life. So, you know.
And there's like so much amazing music coming out of both cities. And I think we're probably more familiar with Detroit producers ourselves, like, of course, Dilla. And then we're crazy Moody Man fans as well. What was your introduction to both music? Well, what was your introduction to music production, period? How did you get started as a producer? And then how did the music scene of both of those cities influence your signature style?
Okay, well, I started off music basically, you know, just like one day. I mean, because my first love was basketball.
Okay.
So like from there, basketball didn't really pan out the way I wanted to. Mm-hmm. So like, I always enjoyed music. And so like one day I was just like, I want to make music. Because I was used to like beatbox all the time. You know, like I got that from my cousin. She used to always like beatbox and stuff. So I was just like, you know what? I'm gonna just, yeah. I didn't have enough money for like an MPC or anything. So the only thing I could afford at the time was Acid, Sonic Foundry Acid. That's what they used to call it. This was like in like 2001.
Okay.
So then from there, you know, it was just one of those things where I practiced, and at first I really didn't get it, and then, you know, so I quit. I quit for like a month. Cause I couldn't understand how to, you know, do production whatever, and then I picked it back up again, and then from there ever since just been on it, you know, about, you know, 11, 12 years later.
Okay.
And then from there, like musically, I would say probably more of my influences came, you know, from listening to people that was in my peer group, and then also like studying like all my favorite producers like Pete Rock, you know, Dilla, Madlib, you know, Neptune's, Timberland. So I like pretty much took all those different pieces of what those guys were bringing to the table, and then kind of just took it and put it into my own little style or whatever.
And so from our perspective, you bring a particular magic to chopping songs and remixing songs. It's a special tall black guy way that you do it. And some of our examples are the Tall Black Guy versus Michael Jackson, Tall Black Guy versus Al Green, the Therapy and Mini Therapy Chops projects, and then the Robert Glasper remix contest that you won. What's your thought process when you attack a track to remix it? Because I would imagine, especially that MJ project, the challenge there, the music already is so great. How do you take it and make it your own and make it even better than it was before?
First of all, I'll just listen to it just to see if I even want to remix it in the first place. Because some songs, I won't even remix them just because I think they're like awesome the way they are. But like we'll just say the Michael Jackson project, for example. Like that project actually took me like 5 years to complete that.
Mm.
You know, because like that's Michael.
Right.
You can't mess up no mic.
Right.
You know what I mean? So it was just one of those things where, you know, I would like say, I want to flip Off the Wall. Like, how could I make Off the Wall different but still have the element of, you know what I'm saying, mic? You know what I mean? So it was just, you know, just trying to think outside the box, but not like necessarily looping it.
Mm-hmm.
Just think crazy. But I really can't even explain it. It's just like one of those things. Like if it's something that I think I can mess with and I think I can add something to it, then I'll attempt to try it. You know, but if it's something that I can't do, I won't even mess with it. I won't even disrespect the music like that.
I hear you. So being LA natives, two of our favorite projects of yours, of course, are Hollyweird and Hollyweird 2.0. We wanted to know, what was your inspiration for that project, for both of the projects, and what's the significance of the title?
Well, I lived in LA, me and my wife. Actually, when we got married, we moved to LA in 99 and we stayed there for like a year and a half. Mm-hmm. We were there for this internship at this place called the Dream Center, LA Dream Center.
Okay.
And which basically what it was like a nonprofit organization where basically we would go out and go feed like homeless people, you know, in like, you know, desolate areas and, you know, like Jordan Downs and Skid Row. You know, we was all out there. So, like, I was just like, you know, since I'm out here, I'm like, those people really gave me inspiration. So, I was like, I want to create music around my surroundings. You know what I mean? So, you know, the titles and some of the stuff was, you know, from me actually living there. You know what I mean? So, I took the Hollywood part from this mural that we seen. It was like it was a graffiti mural that was, like, right around the corner from where we were at the Dream Center or whatever. I was like, man, that sounds like a dope title, you know, and then from there, I just started working on the tracks, you know, and kind of building it from there, you know, so it was just really off the experience of me staying in LA for that amount of time.
So this past summer, you dropped Tall Black Guy Presents Tempo Dreams Volume 1, which was an album that featured several different producers, including Evil Needle, Taku, and Monkey Robot, to name a few. What was the goal in making that project, and how did you select the producers for the project?
Well, the goal was just, you know, I just wanted everything just to sound cohesive. You know, I didn't want any fillers, and I wanted different types of music, but it still has like this, you know, the same chill out feel or whatever, you know what I'm saying? Like, even though it's not, I didn't particularly make all the music, you know what I mean? That would be a project that I would think I would put out myself. So by me selecting those particular artists, like I was already fans of them anyway. So it was just one of those things where like I was, you know, just pick the tracks and then listen to see how they sound or whatever. And then, you know, just try to put it together that way. You know, where I just wanted everything just to sound like it was supposed to be in that order. And, you know, you can basically just press play and let the whole thing, you know, just go all the way through.
Okay. Well, we've also had an opportunity to listen to the projects that you've done with Prime Meridian and the 80s Babies projects. And we wanted to know, do you have different processes when you're producing for an MC versus making instrumentals?
Well, the 80s Babies project, I go off those two projects.
Okay.
The 80s Babies project was actually, that's like my best friend. So like we went to school together.
Okay.
We've known each other for like 15, 16 years or whatever. So like our chemistry, you know, it was already there. So it was just one of those things where, like, he had an idea. He'd have an idea for a song, whatever, you know. And then basically what he would do is, like, he would just record a mock version of the track. And then what I would do is I would strip off the music and then take the acapella and then remix it around his vocals. So basically, like, I'm making the beat towards his vocals or whatever.
Okay.
And then with the Prime Meridian, that was just straight off of, like, I was fans of their music. And the particular project that they had out at the time, I was like, you know what? I just want to remix it. You know, it's just one of the things I like them a lot. So I just try some different beats on it. Whatever. But yeah, that's basically it. It's just, if they have an idea, you know, they give me the idea and I try to make it to the, you know, make it to the best of my ability for what I want, what they want, you know, as far as like going to the music level. Yeah.
Okay. Well, we know you recently relocated to the UK, which when we got that news, it made us smile because our introduction to you was via Giles Peterson. So what prompted the move from the US to the UK?
Stuff wasn't working out in the US. And my wife is actually from the UK. So.
Okay.
It was like one of those things. She got family out here. Wasn't nothing really going in the U.S. We ain't got no kids. So it's like, why not?
Right. Now is the time. One thing I'm in awe of, because I am an online publisher, is it seems like you have unearthed the secret to managing music promotions and sales online, often giving away some of your music for free. How has the internet impacted you as an artist? And would you ever work with a large label for promotion and distribution?
I personally would rather be independent just because I just don't want them telling me how I can, you know, make and choose to do my music. You know what I mean? Unless it was a situation where, like, it just really made sense and, like, I would keep, like, all my publishing or something like that. Mm-hmm. Like, it would be very hard for me, you know, to really go under that. Somebody telling me something that what I can and what I cannot do with my own music. You know what I mean? But I just can't see that, you know, especially nowadays. I mean, you can pretty much, you know, if you have a big enough following, you can make some moves on the internet. You know what I mean? Right. But I wouldn't say I wouldn't be opposed to it, but it got to be a really, like, super fantastic situation for me to say, you know, would I go under a label act or whatever. You know, that's not, it's not muchy for me.
Okay. Is the internet, has that been the method that you've used primarily to connect with other producers and other artists?
I mean, yeah. I mean, especially, you know, by me being in all these different places, I mean, that's like the number one thing. You can connect with people without even necessarily have to, you know, physically be there with them. Now, I will say that it is actually almost kind of a little bit better to actually meet people in person. You know, I mean, just to solidify the relationship with that person. But in the beginning stages, like, you can still make ridiculously dope music and listen to a lot of dope music with just straight up just, you know, doing the research. Like Foreign Exchange, for example. Mm-hmm. You know, if you know the story behind them, they made their whole record off of Nicolay staying in the Netherlands and Fonte staying in North Carolina. And they made that whole first Foreign Exchange album off the internet. Right. Before even meeting each other.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And you just see how dope that was. You know what I mean? So, yeah.
It works. So what's next for you? What's next? Now that you're in the UK, settling down there, what do we have next to look forward to from Tall Black Guy?
Secrets. That's all I'm saying. I just say secrets. Probably in the next month or so, I'm probably just going to, like, take a break from, like, releasing any music and really, you know, get my, you know, just start practicing more, you know, because I've been playing keyboard for the last few years and I just want to, you know, get that under my belt a little bit more. So probably more or less to just practice, but I got a few things coming out, but it's for me to know and for everybody else to find out.
I heard that. Before we sign off, can you let everybody know where they can find you?
All right. You can find me on Twitter. That's the @ and the name is Sir Tall Black Guy. You can find me on Facebook, Tall Black Guy Productions. You can find me on SoundCloud, Tall Black Guy Productions, on / SoundCloud. Or you could just Google Tall Black Guy in the search engine of Google and anything that you see. The Tall Black Guy, it's pretty much, you can find me that way too as well.
Well, thank you so much for chatting with us today. We are so excited.
Thank you for having me on.
Absolutely.